Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, calling to you from the We Believe America Tower on the 10th floor, sitting above majestic Atlanta, overlooking the skyline of Buckhead. And as you can tell from my voice, I have what everybody else seems to have. And so I'm going to do the best that I can, but I am a little impaired. All right. We spent the better part of a year talking about the upcoming election and the need for responsibility in government, the need for fiscal restraint, the need to put security above welfare, the need to strengthen our relationship with Israel, the need to keep to put stringent restraints upon Iraq and their building of the nuclear weapons, and really all of the financial failures of the Obama administration. Each week I went into vivid detail about what would happen to this nation if we continued to spend and go into debt. And there were millions of people who accepted that and voted against him, but there weren't enough. There were too many people that wanted free phones, free condoms, welfare, and food stamps. Our food stamp president's now up to about 50 million people. And they're using these things. I put up a blog entry on Facebook yesterday where they're using them at strip clubs. They're on the dole and they're watching the pole. That was the name of my little blog thing. And you know what? This is some tough stuff. After the election, like so many people, I really felt like I had a kick in the gut. Excuse me. But here we are. Here we are. Now what do we do? What do the people who are people of faith, people who believe there is a God, believe that he is active in the lives of men and women, believe that he has a destiny for America, believe that American exceptionalism is something that we should strive after? What do? Sam Donaldson was on the TV the other day and he said, this is not their nation anymore. This is our nation. Okay? That, of course, is why we're not getting to the bottom of what happened at Benghazi. Or Fast and Furious, or any of the other myriad of scandals. It's why we don't know who Barack Obama is. It's why he was able to seal everything as his first executive order. And this is what's going on. All right. That is a given. What do we do? This is my show really is about people of faith, but this isn't like Christian radio. At the same time, I'm going to have to just do something a little different. I'm going to read a Bible verse. This is from Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. As I see it, This is a spiritual struggle for the soul, heart and soul of America, which means I was wrong. In that whole time, I was telling people to be, you know, to vote for, you know, for the person that was the best qualified, to take a look at the record. I was making an appeal based upon reason, logic, economic self-interest. All of those are tangible, physical things. That's not what this battle is all about. This battle is about a spiritual battle. And we have not been fighting a spiritual battle. We've been fighting for the nation as we know it, not doing the same thing as others. The other side, and I don't believe that there's any great conspiracy. And, you know, I see some of these talk shows where they say, well, you know, Barack Obama sat in the living room with Bill Ayers and Jeremiah Wright and whoever else was there, and they kind of formed this plot. I'd say they're all fellow travelers, but the plot goes into the spirit world. Now, to some of you, this will seem a little crazy. That's okay. It isn't, but be that as it may. All right, now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the greatest generation. We've grown accustomed to refer to the veterans of World War II as the greatest generation. Thanks to the tribute of Tom Brokaw and others. Not to take away from the accomplishment of what our fathers and grandfathers did, which were extensive. I mean, they destroyed Hitler and Mussolini and Tojo in Japan, and that's a big deal. What I'd like to do is make a case for an earlier generation, for our founding fathers, especially the Christian leaders among them. What they did has stood the test of time and has made the United States the exceptional nation that it has become. Most people don't realize this, but during the time of the Revolution and the ratification of the Constitution, only 5% of the people were Christians. It's 5%. Very small number. Nevertheless, these men and women were strong, firm in their convictions, and they influenced the future course of our nation, providing us with blessing for 2.25 centuries, continuing to this day. The opposition is doing everything that they can to dismantle what has been done. I see today, it was in the news about a gay rights group that is sending a petition asking that the Roman Catholic Church be labeled a hate group. Why is it a hate group? Because it doesn't condone homosexual marriage. It hasn't condoned homosexual marriage since Peter founded the church in Rome 2,000 years ago. So, for 2,000 years, it's held the position that now they want to label as a hate group because of it. And this might get someplace. This is what is happening in our nation, where they're calling right wrong and wrong right. Let me once again apologize for my voice. Bear with me. What I'm saying is important. And I'm going to talk about this week in, week out, until the message is completely clear to anybody who listens, who calls in, or who goes into the archives and listens to this. Okay. When the Constitution was ratified and the first census was taken in 1790, the population of the United States was 3,329,000 people. We had twice that number, or close to twice that number in Atlanta alone, certainly in the state of Georgia. Now, if only 5% of this number were Christians, then less than 150,000 people were responsible for creating the institution that have served us well and for so long. Granted, during that time, the non-Christian population supported what was happening. But the point remains, it doesn't take many to influence the majority. Recognize this truth, internalize it, and never forget it. This radical gay agenda is being put forward by a very small group of militants who want to force their will upon us. They want to take something that is unnatural and make it normal. You can legislate wrong and make it right, but you can't make it right. It still remains wrong. It doesn't work. All right, I want to continue with this stuff. Militant anti-Christians, who are a small number, are ruthlessly committed to their task. They've hijacked our nation and our tradition. They control the White House and much of the Democratic Party and some of the Republican Party. What we now call the United States is something our World War II fathers and grandfathers wouldn't even recognize, and they certainly wouldn't condone it. But guess what? We're here, we're alive, and we must stand up. These militant anti-Christians, who are small in number but ruthlessly committed, have hijacked everything. If this small number that has influenced so many adversely can be successful, so can we. We do not have to sit by passively and allow this to happen. Guess what that means? It means you have to stand up and be counted for the Lord. Period. You can't just enjoy your little sweet life. You gotta stand up. We're gonna be talking about how to stand up for weeks and weeks and months until, like the little mustard seed, it grows. We're so afraid of people condemning us for being intolerant. Well, These people that condemn us for being intolerant are intolerant of us. It's time for us to wake up and be the people that the Lord has empowered us to be. I want to say with some else. Christian people in America like to look and say, well, this is biblical prophecy. We're in the end times. We're the Laodiceans. We're lukewarm. That's the last thing that has to happen before the Lord comes back. So they're essentially justifying doing nothing like it's God's will, because this is the end times. I did my master's degree at Baylor on a millennial interpretation of American history, taking seven different periods. Each period thought they were the last generation, and they weren't. What if this isn't? What if we just let our heritage go down the tubes because we were unfaithful? How does that sit with you? It's wrong, and it's not what God has called us to do, period. I'm very, very concerned about what is happening. Very. All right, now I have one more point that I want to talk about tonight. My voice is strengthening a little bit, probably empowered by the Lord, because I'm talking to you and telling you the truth. Okay. There's never a day that I go on Facebook, and I go on there all the time. I'm kind of a guru. People follow me, and they should. I put up some very good things, insightful. There's never a day that I don't see dozens of posts, some of them very funny and cute, where they bash liberals. Okay, I don't know who you are out there, but I want you to just, for a moment, pretend that you're an 80-year-old, 5'5", 220-pound man, and you're told to dunk the basketball, which is 10 feet off the ground. You wouldn't be able to do it. It would be for you physically impossible. People, you can have a coach. You have Doc Rivers himself. He said, this is how you do it. These are the mechanics. An 80-year-old, fat old man can't dunk a basketball. Not if his life depended on it. And yet, using the analogy, bridging it, we bash these liberals all the time as if they have the Spirit of God in them and that they're just willfully going the wrong direction. They're going the wrong direction because they don't know the right direction. And we're alienating them all over the place. I don't do that. Throughout that election, there were people that were, you know, these progressives and everything. They just lambasted me, and I answered them calmly, factually, and kindly every time. I did it because they're the fat old men that can't dunk the basketball. They don't have God's spirit in them. They can't understand reality. What is reality? Reality is what God says is true. heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. That's either true or it isn't. If it's true, then we need to stand in that truth. People that don't understand it, what do we do with them? Let them live their lives. But we cannot allow them to turn around and take our rights away from us, to impose evil over good. It's time to stand up. If you've been on the sidelines, it's time to get involved. How do you get involved? We're going to that starting next week. You'll be surprised. It does not involve joining any political party or anything like that. That's not what needs to happen. Our battle is spiritual. We must fight it spiritually. How do we do that? We do that by letting the Lord fight the battle for us. Do you hear what I just said? We do that by letting the Lord fight the battle for us. But he can't fight the battle for us if we're not willing to stand. There are things that we need to do as people, and there's a movement throughout this nation of people like in that song from Les Miserables, we will not be slaves again. We will not. We will not be enslaved to the dictates of evil people. The big issue right now is guns. Well, I've never had a gun. I've only shot one once in my entire life. Never even considered owning one. Now that Obama's for disarming, I'm considering getting one, to be honest with you. But that's not the way that this battle is going to be fought. This is a battle, a spiritual battle between the forces of evil and the forces of Christ. You got to pick a side. You cannot sit and allow this to happen. Our nation is in trouble. 150,000 faithful people 2.25 centuries ago set standard that has blessed us for all this time. And now we need people in America. If there were 5% of the Christian, there are 80 million Christians. 5% of them is what? 4 million people. It wouldn't take 4 million. We get enough people, we're going to make a change in this nation. I so wish that I was able to speak without having my laryngitis here. But I can't. And I tried to go to the doctor today. Kaiser. Here in Atlanta, there are a dozen locations for it. And it was one doctor that had an opening in the entire city to see me. My first episode with Obamacare. Not a good one. We're not going to have good outcomes for this stuff. All right. There are things that we need to do, and when we do them, we're going to change this nation. We can't do it by ourselves, and we cannot do it by making an appeal to the senses of human beings. We need to realize this battle is spiritual. If there is anything that I want you to remember from this episode of this show, that's the battle spiritual. This is spiritual warfare. And we fight the battle not in the strength of our might, but aligning ourselves with God's truth. In the weeks to come, I'm going to teach you how to do that. I'm going to end the show early because I just can't say another word. Now, I have one last thing to say. Tonight is the national championship. The Tide's going against Notre Dame. When I was a little boy, I loved Notre Dame. I was an Irish Catholic from Boston, and Notre Dame did it for me. Loved them. When I came to the South and became a born-again Christian, the great team of the South was Alabama, whom I rooted for.